Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hardly Casual Podcast. We are here today to talk to you about the news. I'm John Carter, and I'm with...
Kenny Hall.
The Kennys. Kenny, what's up with Xbox?
Xbox looks like they've announced their Slim and its price, which I think is absolutely absurd.
Okay. What's the price?
$400. Yeah, you know, just when you think Microsoft's making smart decisions.
They objectively are.
Sure.
I like Phil Spencer. I'm not the biggest Microsoft guy. I haven't been for quite a while, especially
sure.
in the console realm. But Phil Spencer is legit.
Yeah, I mean, they're moving everything to PC. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're trying to do that even more so by making this console a $400 console.
I know. They're like, we're just messing with you guys.
Yeah, don't worry.
We don't want you to buy our consoles.
Not
we just
at
want
all.
You to play stuff on Windows 10.
Yeah, just buy the games on Xbox and then play them on Windows 10. That's the optimal setting for your
what
Xbox.
What they want us to do is they want us to buy the disc. They want us to use the product code for the Windows 10 version. And they want us to resell...
The disc
on
Back
eBay.
Back to GameStop, yeah.
Or at a GameStop, yeah,
yeah
absolutely.
Sure. No, I really think that is like the craziest thing I've seen in a long time. Because I feel like, you know, we saw the Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
or the... them talk about the Scorpio quite a bit back at E3.
Pseudo Scorpio?
Is that like a color swap for Scorpion?
Studio.
Okay. But yeah, we saw that and we saw how powerful it's going to be. But how in the hell do they expect to sell a $400 console that is minutely better than the console that they currently have?
I consider you my hardware man. What... Hardware-wise, how is this better, and why do I need this?
I honestly haven't done any research into it, but from what little bit of research I've done,
mm-hmm.
it's not that much better. They say that it can kind of do a little bit of 4K stuff, but not a whole lot. It's kind of like a really dumbed down Neo.
Oh my lord!
And I don't know. I don't understand. Like. I feel like this is one of those things that you'll be seeing these in bargain bins in like 2 years for like 30 cents because they're just not going to sell. Like, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in like 6 months I eat crow and they're like the best.
But that's
console
the thing.
The
like,
planet.
they're not just doing this slim one. They're also doing another model
next
of the
year.
Xbox One.
Next year or the year after. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is going to be their competitor proper for the PlayStation Neo.
Right. And by that time, PlayStation will have like the PlayStation XO, which will be like the
Lord.
Super PlayStation.
So it's. It's like, hey, guys, we need to have a console out, a new console, new, in air quotes, for the holidays.
Yep.
We got to have that slim model out.
Yeah, for some reason. I know.
I think they're trying to hit that little tiny niche of like a holiday crowd and get those potential buyers of those like, oh, I need something new. It's the holidays. Or, oh, maybe a holiday.
I need a new VCR because my Xbox One's already my VCR.
Yeah,
and I'd like a thinner VCR.
Yep. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out, and I'm just perplexed.
The only thing I'm pieced together is they're trying to pander to the holiday crowd.
They
want those holiday sales, and that's the only way they're going to get them. This is the 2016 Microsoft holiday console.
Do you think it's also them trying to keep up with PlayStation with the PlayStation VR and the PlayStation Neo hitting here soon? I think it's them throwing
mud at a wall. Like, I mean. Why do it? Why not do it?
Yeah, sure. Sure, we've got money. We want a smaller console.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant to think that they didn't really think this one through, but
mm-hmm.
it definitely feels that way.
It's that Me Too scenario. That, hey, we're still over here.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, we're still coming, guys. Don't worry. we know Nintendo and Sony are bringing out stuff.
Oh.
So are we, though.
And that's the thing, like, Nintendo and Sony, I can firmly say, even Nintendo, they're making traction.
Yeah.
Like, they're making, like, a public appearance, and, like, people are... talking about them in a social realm.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas Microsoft, the biggest talk about that we're getting is the fact that, like, hey, games are on Windows 10.
Yeah,
like,
now I can play those Microsoft
supposedly
games.
Supposedly, all the exclusives going forward are going to be on Windows 10, which is really cool, but there's no comeuppance to go with that. Like, I mean, you still have a console, and you still need to sell that console.
Right.
I can play these games on PC, and that's awesome, but you're still not giving me any reason to come to your console
right.
side of things.
Honestly, I know this sounds crazy, but I've built a controller on Xbox.com
yeah.
to get ready. I'm probably going to purchase that on my next paycheck because
To use it on the PC.
Yes, to use it on the PC because I want a good PC controller.
I feel the exact same way.
And like as good as the DS4 is, the PlayStation 4 DualShock 4 controller, as good as it is on PC, there's still some bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And with my PC, I have a Bluetooth or whatever their wireless signal is. I have a card for that in my PC, so I can use that wirelessly with my PC.
I use the DualShock 4 actively playing on PC. And I really enjoy it. But the thing is, it really bothers me on the software side because all of the buttons are used. They use the Xbox control scheme or the Xbox layout to where you have, you know, A, B, X, Y, and the color coordinating for that. And it's, you know, it doesn't fit. I mean, granted, you're not looking at your controller when you're playing, but there's still that disconnect.
Yeah, there's still that weirdness. And like, it is kind of a pain to go in every single game and reset it all.
Yep.
And even games like Final Fantasy 14, which I use a controller on on PC, which I know is probably a sin. But even that game, when I first booted up and switched it over to the controls, the first thing it said was Microsoft controls, not Sony controls.
Yep. And that's the thing that really bothers me, too, is like I have to use the software. I have to use Input Mapper for it to recognize my DualShock 4 as a Microsoft controller.
Right.
Because there are very, very few games on PC that by default will recognize the DualShock 4.
Right.
If they would, then I wouldn't have the problem that I'm having. I wouldn't have that slight irritation. But it is kind of a pain in the butt to have to launch two programs. In Input Mapper, it actually takes quite a bit of resource. Like, it's not a light boy.
Yeah.
It needs some RAM.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I run into. Well, not the performance side of things, but whenever I'm trying to stream and trying to record video, and I've got six different programs running and trying to monitor resources and all that stuff.
Yeah, you want to be using as little resources as possible. You want as much RAM that you can possibly have dedicated to recording.
Yeah.
And so Input Mapper is one of those things. Right. If you're using DualShock 4 controller, that it's not good.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it's one of those things where, I actually love the fact that they made it completely customizable. And I hope, I honestly hope that PlayStation does.
Did you make an order one of those customizable controllers?
I've got one sitting, I've got
sitting in the checkout, in the queue,
I'm waiting till I get paid again.
Is it an Overwatch themed one?
No, I can give you a hint on what color it is, though.
It's lime green. God, Kenny.
It's lime green and black. I couldn't help
it. You're so lovably predictable.
you should have seen the first one I created. It was terrible. It was like lime green, black, and red.
Ooh.
And, oh, man, it looked awful.
That looks like a vomit-induced Christmas.
The best way I can explain it was it looked like Slimer from Ghostbusters. Like it was just nasty.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So after that, I was like, I can't do that. So I toned it back and did lime green and black, and it looks really good. But yeah, I'll probably end up buying that controller because I do think that the Microsoft controllers are comfortable.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I love the DS4, but I wish the sticks had a little bit more grip on them.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, I do find my thumbs, especially if I'm playing I love fighting games.
Yeah.
If I'm playing a fighting game and I'm really getting into like the rigmarole and I'm really you know, getting into what I'm doing actively on screen, like I definitely feel my thumbs sliding off. And if I'm trying to do a quarter circle or half circle, pull off a special or whatever I'm doing, there are times where it's just like, I completely messed up. That was all on me. I just slid right
off there. Yeah.
Right off the edge of the.
Yeah.
The
same thing with Overwatch.
Analog.
Like trying to like readjust your hand while I'm playing
Overwatch.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times, depending on what I'm doing, where you almost have to do like what you did on the PSP, like the crab
hand. Yeah, the crab hand, like reach over, readjust with your other, right hand thumb.
I have done that. Yep. Like I will be jumping in the air in Overwatch, turning and trying to use a special ability.
Yeah.
And I have done like the weird, formulaic crab hand to the side.
Yeah, it looks like you're trying to throw gang signs.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yo, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I do like the Xbox controller a little bit more than... I wouldn't say more than DS4. I think I like them both about the same, but I will say this. The PlayStation 3 controller was crap.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That, I don't think anyone's arguing that.
Yeah. Yeah, those triggers were just terrible.
It's okay to play... If I'm playing a retro game with a DualShock 3 controller, I feel like it's fine because it has a good D-pad. But outside of that, if I'm playing, like, modern, like, it's just not... Mm-mm.
It's just not conducive.
It's just not very comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, the DualShock 3, I think, is a good retro controller.
Yeah.
It doesn't even need the analog sticks.
Yes. I think if you also played it back before it had before it was the DualShock 3, where it was still like just whatever,
the six axis. Oh, that was crap.
That was terrible. It felt so light.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was going to crap it.
It's like I played a video game with a Dorito.
Yeah. It felt more like Play-Doh to me. Like, I'm just like
Like, no, to me, oh, it felt like a Dorito. I felt like I would just, like, you know, if you take a Dorito out of the bag,
yeah,
and it snaps, and then, you get that sad little moment of wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, I'm out $70.
Yes.
PlayStation controllers are expensive nowadays.
Oh, God. How Doritos always get brought into video games? I mean, this is part of the problem.
How does Doritos get brought into Overwatch?
I still don't get that.
Yeah. Anyways, before we start talking about Overwatch,
yes.
Let's talk about Batman, the Telltale game.
Okay, yeah. I recently watched this trailer. I really like the art style. It sticks to that Telltale, like, comic book-esque art style.
Yeah.
With, like, the hard black outlines.
Yeah.
Cel-shaded. I like the look of it. I love Batman and Catwoman's suit. Not that they wear the same suit. They're suits. I like kind of, like, the rounded edges. Like, it looks very...
Well, I mean, it's the suits are the same one from the Arkham series.
Nope.
Is it not?
No.
It looked like the same one I thought it
was.
No,
like, I mean, she's wearing her goggles. I mean, that typical, like, it is a take on that style. But, I mean, these ones have a very distinct look to them.
Okay, maybe I need to go back and rewatch the trailer.
Maybe you should go back and rewatch it.
Okay. I'll do that.
But no, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of tired of the retelling of this is what it seems like to me. I'm tired of the retelling of Batman stories that we already know.
Yeah.
I want something really new and really fresh. And I'm a huge Batman fan. Like, Batman is easily my favorite superhero. But I feel like maybe it's being worn down and beaten down from the Batman versus Superman movie.
Sure.
And not giving a care for it and being really disappointed in that realm. But I don't... Nothing's... I'm going to play the Telltale game.
Yeah.
But so far, just based on the trailer and the story beats that it's hitting, I'm not really impressed. It's hitting the typical lines of Two-Face as an attorney, as district attorney before he's Two-Face, and Falcone's. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you know, Batman fighting mobsters. This is obviously a younger Batman,
right?
And I'm fine with that, but I feel like we've watched that movie. I feel like I've read that comic book 20 times over. I want to see something fresh.
I'm completely on the other side of the camp.
Okay,
I've loved almost everything that Telltale has done.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about this.
I mean, if they can pull it off, and if they can do... I've played the Tales of the Borderlands series.
Yeah,
and
I'm
a little over halfway through it now. And it is, I can honestly say, like, not even having completed the full season yet, it's their best game.
Really? I don't know.
In mine, it's, I mean, and I was a huge, huge fan of Walking Dead season 1.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they
hooked me. Did you play Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched season 1 of Game of Thrones show, I've heard that the Game of Thrones Walking Dead, or excuse me, Game of Thrones Telltale game is a big spoiler thing, and it takes place in between, like, season 2 and 3, or 3 and 4, something like that. So it's something that, I mean, I would like to get to and play, but I'm not in a hurry to watch Game of Thrones, because I feel like I've missed that bus.
Right.
You know, I feel like I'm so far behind now that I'm just going to wait until Game of Thrones is over to go back and rewatch season 1 and rewatch every single season from there. But yeah, up until now, what I played of the Telltale games, like Walking Dead Season 1 was my favorite for a very long time until Tales from the Borderlands. And oh, Lord have mercy. Like, I never would have thought that anyone would really care for Borderlands' story.
Yeah.
It's more of, you played the Borderlands games proper for the action and what was going on in the
screen. I actually enjoyed the stories from the Borderlands games.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There are definitely some story moments that are really neat.
Yeah.
But it seems like those are kind of channeled into the broad overarching story wasn't that impressive, because the broad overarching story was, hey, there's a vault, go get the vault. Once you finally get to the vault, like, it's never really impressive, and it just kind of wraps up and hits it immediately and it's done.
Sure.
But whereas the moment to moment, it was more interesting that the smaller stories where you're running into the weird characters.
Yeah,
that's where
I agree,
see you liking the story. You know, like, catch a ride.
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, there's all these, like, really neat little character moments, and I get that part. But yeah, they were able to take Borderlands and the minute-to-minute story, even the overarching story, very interesting.
Yeah.
So if they can do that with Batman as well, I'm all for it. And I'm down for seeing Batman as a more adventure-type game, as opposed to the Arkham games, where it's more combat-focused and more action.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing that's got me excited is just the feeling of the game. Like, it doesn't feel like an action game anymore, like you just said.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's going to be its own thing, and that makes me happy. I love the Telltale game for Game of Thrones. I thought it was a fantastic story, and it had nothing to do with the main story of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, I've read all 6 books, or 5 books, however many, 5 books, waiting for the 6th, and I'm up to date on the show, but, like, I thought that the story from that game was actually a little bit more interesting than some of the storylines in the show or in the books.
Okay.
And I feel like if anyone can do a Batman right, it's Telltale. They have the propensity to tell a really good story. They have the tools to make a decent game.
Yeah. Well, for me, I always felt like Batman's best when he is a dark detective.
Yeah.
Like, when he is doing, like, actual detective work. Like, I mean, sure, I love when Batman gets out there and kicks ass, but, like, I want to see Batman as that.
You want to see Batman as a detective.
Yeah, and I want to see... My favorite Batman is, like, a Neil Adams Batman, like, late 70s, early 80s, or even mid to late 80s, where he was athletic, a dark detective, and not invulnerable.
Yeah, not indestructible.
Not indestructible. I mean, I like that Batman, too, in its own respect, but my favorite Batman is that mid-career dark detective who is still an acrobat to some regards, but it really focuses on that inner monologue, the noir aspect of Batman. I want this game, and I will be very, very happy with that game if they just properly channel the noir aspect of Batman's psyche.
Do you remember L.A. Noir from Rockstar?
Wow, that was a really bad game.
Do you want a Batman Noir by Rockstar?
I it would be better than L.A. Noir, sure.
Okay, that's fair. So that's kind of our thoughts on Batman. I'm looking forward to it. John is.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Don't mistake me. I'm very.
You're hesitant.
I'm not. I'm willing to reserve my final judgment, but I'm more excited for this than I would be for another Arkham game.
Yeah,
I feel like the Arkham games have burnt themselves out.
I really liked the last one, actually.
I liked it.
I feel like it's done.
Yeah. I feel like this is a good game. I don't regret the time that I spent with it, but it's not great.
Now let's just get a good Spider-Man game, and let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Next up, let's talk about Persona 5. Have you watched the 18 minutes of gameplay, or any of the 18 minutes of gameplay?
I'm a bad boy.
You didn't watch anything?
I didn't, no.
Okay. Well, allow me to iterate a little bit.
Please.
It looks good. Have you played Persona?
I have.
Then
Persona 3 was the last one I played.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're
not for me.
Gotcha.
I respect why people like them.
Yeah.
There are things that it has mechanics that I enjoy about them.
Yeah.
But it's very hard for me to get into
It's a real life sim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing for me. Like, video games are escapism for me, but Personas are, even as outlandish as they are, they're very real in a lot of
ways. A lot of ways, yeah. And that's kind of like why I like them. I enjoy that realism in a sense. Mm-hmm. The things I don't like are the dating sim parts, but that's just weird Japanese
culture.
That's
probably the biggest turnoff for me.
But this one looks pretty interesting. You're playing what looks like a thief of some sort.
Okay.
I haven't watched the whole 18 minutes because I just
didn't. I'm already more interested.
It looks like he's breaking into vaults and stealing stuff, and then he somehow gets access to his persona, which in the Persona games you play. Basically, emo kids that shoot themselves in the head to bring out their inner demons.
Well,
they don't still
shoot themselves in the heads. I think they took that away, didn't they?
No, I thought that was still like
they
even
changed
before,
it. It was okay, but I remember they took that out of one of them, or edited it, or censored it, and they switched it up completely because there was such an issue behind it.
Oh, really? I think that's still in.
So they're back to shooting themselves in the head.
It's always been there.
Okay.
Yeah, even in 4, they shot themselves in the head.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now they didn't they did take away the blood and stuff. They just pull the trigger and then the persona comes out from behind.
Such a bizarre concept.
Yeah, but. It's kind of fun. It's like playing a Final Fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's turn-based combat.
Yeah.
This one looks to be just as good. It looks like it's modern graphics. There's not a whole lot. With the Persona game, you don't need a whole lot of new stuff. You just need an updated graphics engine and all that. So it looks like it's going to be fun. It'll probably be...
I feel like my biggest issue with those is a lot of those hyper anime weeaboo games.
Yeah.
They get really formulaic.
Yeah, and I'm sure this one will be too.
Yeah.
But... I enjoy them. They're kind of like a guilty pleasure. I
get that.
I don't know if I'll play this one all the way through just because I don't know if I'll have 40 to 50 hours because I think Persona 4 I beat in 66
hours.
Yeah,
that's the thing for me. I would be way more interested if they could condense it into more of a movie format because these are they do have a movie style or TV show style about them.
They have the anime parts and all that stuff. The thing that takes the longest is getting through the tower or whatever the long grind is that you have to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Final Fantasy with the summon system or, anything like that, you have all these different little systems that work together. But
I feel like a lot of them have a really interesting story to tell, but they're held back by the mechanics.
Yeah, you have to grind to get there.
The grinding, yeah. And it's really drawn out, and then some people are totally into that. I mean, you definitely have more time than I.
Right.
But I would love it if they had, like, a condensed mode. Or you know how even in an Uncharted 4, it had a, like, super easy, like, light mode to where it was basically you're just hitting the story beats. Like, right. The combat is just...
Yeah, I would love that as well. I agree.
Awesome.
Now, follow me here, John.
Uh-huh.
What if, instead of emo kids, you had a guy named Frank West? And what if, instead of going through, like, a nightmarish hell area... You're walking through the mall, mowing down zombies.
Yeah.
But it's still a weird Japanese game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why do I?
What if I told you that game was coming to PlayStation 4?
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. You're talking about Dead Rising, aren't you?
Oh, I'm talking about Dead Rising.
Man, I like me some Dead Rising.
I don't.
Aw.
But it's okay. It's okay. We're allowed to have different opinions.
Okay, so Dead Rising...
One and two.
Is it a combo package?
Yeah, from there's not been a whole lot of details.
It would be really dumb if they separated it. Like, yeah. It kind of has to be a combo package
right.
At this point.
So, was two the one where you played the biker guy?
Yes, you played the motocross guy who was looking for his daughter. It wasn't his son, it was his daughter, I believe.
Okay.
I've absorbed so many zombie, like, media.
Yeah, they all become the same.
Mm-hmm. And granted, like, two is actually my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, it really was. Even story-wise, it was my favorite. So I liked the story wrap-up, and it's been so long, so I'm sorry, I can't remember the main character's name or even his daughter's name. But I liked that character in that situation even more than Frank West.
Yeah.
And Frank West, I mean, you know, he's a cheeky, weird, lovable, goofy
guy.
I mean, what's not
to
like?
Now, if they left you in the mall... but gave you guns and gave you the ability to, like, take on swarms of zombies, I love it.
I mean, you have guns in Dead Rising.
Yeah, but do you?
You do.
Okay.
Yeah, there's pistols, shotguns, there's M16s.
See, maybe I just got really jaded because when I played Dead Rising, I remember all I pretty much did was grab umbrellas and run through crowds of zombies and get sniped by someone.
Okay.
That's pretty much my memory of Dead Rising.
There's definitely guns in there. It's the gunplay in the early ones for sure wasn't great. But they're definitely... You get to the point where you play it as a melee game.
Okay.
The Dead Rising 3, the one that was on Xbox One and PC, it's more than ever... The gunplay mechanics are a lot better. Like,
yeah.
It feels more like a third-person
shooter.
And
2 is whenever you started building a craft. Quote,
yeah,
quote,
yeah.
Like,
duct tape things together.
Yeah. And I thought I would love that. I really did. I thought that looked like such a fun and unique experience. And then I played it and I just couldn't.
Yeah. I'm a really big fan of the Dead Rising games, but I feel like one of the things that really holds it back is weapons breaking all the time. Like, it just feels so... Like, I put all this effort into finding a battery and finding diamonds or finding whatever items it doesn't need to fuse things together.
Right.
And then to have it break after just a very small zombie stint gets really annoying.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm a huge proponent of those games, but I play them for the quirkiness, the Japanese-esque mentality behind it.
Yeah.
And they do have really good overarching, like, just zombie stories. Like, I would love to see... those condensed down into actual movies. Like, I would watch a Dead Rising 2 movie without, you know, all the fluff from a video game in it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate zombie games. I like Left 4 Dead 2 and 1. I probably put easily over 100 hours in those games.
Yeah.
Because I love those games, man. Mm-hmm. I had almost every single achievement on Xbox on both of them.
Yeah.
Including the multiplayer ones, which I wasn't a huge fan of getting, but, like, you had to because that was the kind of thing to do. But I still don't know how I feel about that series as a whole. Like, I feel like I should like it just because I'm a fan of video games.
Well, I mean, the problem is they're not very approachable.
Right.
That's
exactly what I'm looking for.
Bring up Dark Souls like I always do. I'm sorry. But whereas Dark Souls has become more approachable, you know, by the layman or by other types of gamers... Dead Rising, even with the newest iteration, Dead Rising 3 still isn't, it's not approachable. Like, I mean, it's still very, you have to know the ins and outs or inner workings or spend a lot of time with it to get what it is and what it wants and what it expects from you as a player.
And I remember in the first one, when I first started thinking I was getting the hang of the game, night came and all the zombies got faster, stronger.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was no longer having fun with that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was no longer a fun game. It was now an annoyance that I had to, like, slog through, in a sense.
Yeah.
And then the fact that, like, characters would die. I had no idea where these characters were.
Yep, they would get lost because the AI is really dumb.
Yeah.
You would go into a boss fight, and it seems like you never have enough health items to fight a boss.
Right.
Your character is designed to fight zombies, not designed to fight boss characters who are humans. You know, they're psychopaths. They've all gone psychotic in the zombie apocalypse in every game. But the controls and the way in which your character moves is completely, you know, copacetic for fighting zombies. Just faster. Just he's able to navigate in a way to where you can get away from a zombie.
Right, you're just fast enough to be faster than the zombies, but not still too
where,
fast.
But still, where if you're not playing strategically, you're having issues with zombies. Like, it feels on point. But when you're fighting the boss characters, they're always faster than you.
Yeah.
They always have faster animations. They can always walk or run faster. They're every single thing about it, and their health, like, oh my god. Yeah. Whereas you may be able to take like 3 or 4 hits from a boss character and then you're dead.
Right.
A boss character, I mean, you can just wail at.
Yeah, I mean, remember the part that really, really frustrated me and where I quit in the first one was whenever the inmates get a hold of a Hummer that has an M60 on top.
And you get run over and run
constantly.
Over and shot and knocked down.
Yeah.
You get into a knockdown loop.
Yeah, and it's just not fun.
No, yeah. I had the same thing. I'm really enjoying Dead Rising 3. I've almost finished it now on PC. But I had one of those boss fights that it was the same scenario where it's a bunch of guys on motorcycles and they're shooting at you, they're throwing Molotov cocktails, and they're trying to run you over.
Yeah.
And so you get into this infinite loop of where, hey, I'm going to stand up, and the second your character stands up, he gets knocked down again.
Right.
And then you have to wait for your character to get the energy to stand back up, and it, oh, it's so
irritating. Yeah, it's so frustrating. And,
yeah.
And, like, that's the point where I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to stop playing the game, otherwise I'm just not, I will like rage quit and not ever touch that game again.
Yeah, I mean they're good games and I enjoy them, and they're for a specific crowd for sure. Yeah, and I, you know, that's neat that they're coming to PS4. I feel like they need a bigger audience. I think the biggest problem with Dead Rising, the reason it's not as big of a franchise as it could be, is not only because that it's not approachable, but also because they always do this Xbox specific or Xbox exclusive contract, and it makes it to where it's not seen on a marketplace.
Right.
Like, their marketing for Dead Rising games is terrible.
Yeah.
Their marketing has always been bad for them. I feel like this could be a prime time, like, first party franchise. Like, even if it was an exclusive, if they just had the marketing behind it.
Yeah.
But so they're automatically shooting themselves in the foot by keeping it narrowed down to one platform.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, now Dead Rising 1 and 2, like you say, coming to PS4, that's cool, but it's not going to be marketed. Little to nobody is going to know that it's even out there.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing: in a world of remakes, is Dead Rising really going to be able to stand up on its own? Anyways, I mean, probably not.
No,
no one really looks back on those games and goes, "Huh, I want to go back and play the original Dead Rising."
And I would, but I want to see some like significant changes. Like, I want to have the timer taken away. You know, because I mean, that's the biggest thing. The first game is fun and is a landmark in that type of gameplay for when it came out. But I mean, it's impossible almost to go back to, at least for my scenario, because like, I don't want to go back and fight the clock the whole time.
I
want to go back and I want to go through the mall and fight zombies and live this Dawn of the Dead George Romero type scenario.
Right.
I don't want to fight the clock.
I remember when it first got announced back in like 2005. I was a huge Resident Evil fan at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just coming off the high of Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, Capcom's making a new game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be incredible. And then I played the demo and got pretty far into it and was like, okay, that's cool. Maybe the real game will be better. Mm-hmm. Bought it, and that was probably the biggest regret I think I had of buying any game on a launch day was Dead Rising 1. For me, I know people like you are out there that enjoyed it, but for me, it was rough. I could not believe I'd spent $60 on this game that I probably spent 4.5 hours.
I mean, most people never saw the end or even close to the end of that game because of how, I mean, it is legitimately difficult to constantly fight the scenario of that clock. Like,
you're looking at that clock and you're going, huh, I've got to save this person in 5 hours, otherwise they die, and then I can't get an achievement.
And it was even a problem with me because I'm a big completionist. Like, if I'm going to play a game, I want to play it to completion. I want to do all the side quests. I want to do all the main content. And that was one of the things that bothered me about the newest Mirror's Edge as well, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I was put in a scenario where I was forced to just play the story because in that scenario with Mirror's Edge, the side content was just awful.
Yeah, like, that's terrible. I've heard that.
Whereas in Dead Rising, the side content was fun content in its own regard, especially for the time. It may have not have aged particularly well. I don't know. I have to go back to it and see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm put in a scenario where I can't finish the game to completion in one playthrough.
Right.
And I understand there are certain games that are built through playing multiple times, but that one still doesn't feel like it. It feels like a game that they want you to play it A, B, C, D, E. They want you to hit every single one of those points and not miss a beat.
Right.
But they're putting that time constraint on top of it.
Right. And it felt like the developers were like, okay, how can we make them choose between this survivor or this survivor?
Yeah.
And that's fine. I would have no problem with that choice, but I don't feel like I had that choice playing through it the first time. I felt like anytime I found a survivor, it was by complete accident.
And because the game's so difficult, too, you have to find those survivors to get your experience points, or PP.
Right.
To get the PP required to make yourself effective in fighting not the zombies, but make
the
yourself
bosses,
the bosses. Yeah, because if you didn't save these quote-unquote survivors, you were not going to be effective in fighting these bosses.
No.
And because as they go along, obviously, like any game, the bosses get harder and harder. But in this game, it's, it is a chore.
Yeah. So on to something a little bit more happy.
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about rectangles.
Rectangles. I like rectangles.
Do you?
That's a good shape.
Okay.
You don't like rectangles?
Let's talk about rectangles that evolve.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with this.
Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Oh, you ruined it for me. I wanted to say it.
Did you?
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Pokemon Sun and Moon.
You got it!
Oh my god, yes! Love it. Some new Pokemon got announced.
Yeah, they're not rectangles.
Via Trip, yeah.
Yeah, one of them looks like a...
You listen here, Kenny. That little caterpillar guy is cute.
He is a rectangle.
I know, but he's cute.
I could draw that.
He's cute.
If I have the capability to draw a Pokemon, then that is a problem.
But it's cute.
Is it, though? It's a rectangle.
Ugh.
I don't look at a square and go, that's a cute
here.
Square.
Listen, how do you feel about Jigglypuff?
Jigglypuff is okay.
Yeah, you can draw a Jigglypuff.
It has character. No, I couldn't draw a Jigglypuff. I can't draw the hands and feet.
You could draw a Jigglypuff.
I don't think you understand the lack of my artistic abilities, John.
We're going to come back to it. I'm going to have you draw this little rectangle Pokemon guy. I can't remember his name. This little caterpillar.
Rectangle-mon.
Yeah, sure. This isn't Digimon.
Sorry.
I'm going to have you draw this thing, and we're going to post it on the website.
Okay.
And we're going to see. We're going to see if you can beat this challenge.
Okay. I will draw
I've laid
the
down
little
the
square rectangle guy, and then you draw a Jigglypuff.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Gauntlet has been thrown.
Yes. That is going to happen.
Okay, so for the new ones announced, we have a Wimpod.
Is that the little...
He is kind of like a horseshoe crab.
Yeah, that's
and
why
a roach
I was looking.
Put together.
Yeah, I kind of like him.
Yeah, he's all right. I hope he evolves into something because he looks really basic, right?
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a first evolution, like a first tier. The one that everyone's in love with out of this new trailer is Mimikyu. This... Mimikyu is the ghost Pikachu.
Oh, that one looks creepy.
Oh, you feel? I think he's cute. I think he's like stupid.
He looks
cute.
like a hand puppet that has come to life.
It reminds me of Tim Burton art.
Yeah, yeah,
and I love that.
I get creeped out by Tim Burton.
Sure, yeah, why not? But I love Tim Burton art.
Yeah.
I think, that
I do think that is a cool Pokemon. I'll give you that.
Like he is a ghost Pokemon that he wants people to love him. He knows that everyone loves Pikachu. So he has a costume, a Pikachu costume that he wears on top of himself.
That's kind of
to get
cool.
people to love him.
Yeah, that's a cool little.
I think it's really
story.
Neat.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a new one. I'm really not a fan of this guy.
Okay.
His name's Mudsdale.
Okay, which one is that?
This is the Clydesdale horse.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It is a horse. Let me paint you a mental picture if you haven't looked it up yourself, listener. It is a brown horse, you know, Mudsdale, so mud, I'm guessing ground type, but it is a very large horse that has a mohawk and dreads, which, you know, okay, but here's where it loses me.
Okay.
It has leg warmers.
Yeah, I didn't notice those.
Yeah, it legit has leg warmers.
Okay.
My problem is, the second that I saw this thing, you know, we have seen fake Pokemon, right? Like, we've seen, like, fan Pokemon. The second I saw this, I was like, there's no way that this is official. Like, this is absolutely a fake. And then when I saw it in the trailer, I was bewildered. I was like, I don't know how I feel about a lot of these new Pokemon designs. X and Y, I feel like was probably, I was talking with Lindsay and a buddy of mine about this. That X and Y, I feel like, had some of the best designs all around that we've seen in quite a few generations of Pokemon.
Right.
This new one, I feel like I've gotten one, two, maybe three Pokemon designs so far of what we've seen that I really like. but yeah. not even close to even half or, you know, the wide hole of what we're seeing. Mudsdale is I feel, a terrible, terrible design.
I just pulled him off my iPad, and I agree.
Yeah, I mean, what are they doing with that?
Yeah.
Like, he is a reggae Native American mud horse with leg warmers.
Yep.
And I'm fine with the mohawk, and I'm even fine with the dreads on the side. But once I got to those leg warmers, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, that is that is an interesting costume for sure.
We also had Comfy, which it is a...
That's a circle one, right?
It's the, like, Aloha necklace. Is there a name for that flower necklace? Aloha necklace, sure. Is that a thing?
Sure.
Is that what they call it?
I don't think
I'm not
it.
Hawaiian. I'm sorry if you are.
It's a lei.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that.
Yeah, so it's a lei, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think it's this generation's like Klefki.
Yeah.
You remember Klefki? Sure. It was the keychain Pokemon from the last generation. I mean, you know, sure. There are people that are going to find that super cute.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a pass on it. Here's one that I'm kind of odd on. The next one is Beware.
You know, I kind of like Beware.
It's
like the dumbest Pokemon, but
it's really stupid.
I can't help but think it's cute.
It's cute, but it's like obnoxious cute.
Yeah, I get that.
It's a red panda, like a giant fat red panda, but it's almost like a Ghibli style art design to it. And instead of being a red panda, like he's pink.
Right.
The other parts of his body, like he's pink and black, and then he has like white fairy ears. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him. Beware is interesting. A lot of people really like him.
Yeah, I don't hate him. I don't think he's the worst.
Well, he's
of the
massive
lot.
Too. If you see him in the trailer, he's huge. He's bigger than Pangoro, which was the giant panda bear Pokemon from the last generation. But he's the strong arm Pokemon, is what it calls. Apparently, you don't want to hug him because he'll, you know,
destroy you.
Yeah, absolutely destroy. He's a normal fighting type. After that, we got a Bounsweet or Boonsweet, however you pronounce that.
I don't remember which
it
one
just looks
was.
Like a fruit.
Okay.
Like, it's another in a long line of
fruit Pokemon. Yeah.
How many fruit Pokemon do we have now?
Yeah.
I mean...
Is it grass type?
I'm sure. I mean, what else could it be?
Psychic?
I'm
just saying, psychic fruit seems like
in its description that it smells really nice, and it appeals to humans and Pokemon mistake it for food.
So these poor, like, things are getting, like, eaten left and right.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, look at Vanillux and Vanillish and all those ones that
I don't
came back.
Those.
That was Gen 5. It was literally vanilla ice cream cone. And its
That's
third,
so dumb.
Its third generation was like a sundae type thing.
That's dumb.
It's honestly like the dumbest Pokemon. Hands down.
I can't say that because there's a lot of dumb Pokemon.
When you get to the point where you have a vanilla ice cream cone,
when you have
a
sword as a Pokemon.
That's better than an ice cream cone.
I don't know. Or a set of keys.
I feel like a set of keys is still better than ice cream cone.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
You just live for people to consume you. Like, that's your only...
A set of keys, the only reason for you to exist is because there's a lock somewhere that you unlock.
Sure, it makes more sense than an ice cream cone.
Or a sword.
No, a
that
sword...
That actually evolves into something else.
Yes, I mean, a sword, at least, it has a purpose to fight.
Sure.
What do you use a sword for?
But someone else should be using that sword. The sword should not be using itself to stab other Pokemon.
Okay, no. Let's go back to, like, D&D, for instance.
Sure.
The root of all modern fantasy, veritably, aside from Lord of the Rings. In D&D, you have, you know, floating swords.
Yeah.
At times that you would have to fight.
Yeah, but, okay, you win.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's taking it to, it's like, it's
damn
base.
Damn your logic.
Yeah, that's taking it to its base core. Like, I mean, a sword makes more sense as a thing.
Oh, okay, you win that one.
What has anyone ever used vanilla ice cream or vanilla ice cream code for, aside from just to consume? Who says, hey, I'm gonna fight you with an ice cream cone?
Who makes a square into a Pokemon? who makes a cube?
He looks like a little cute caterpillar green bus thing.
Yeah, yeah. What? Maybe that's what the keys are for. Maybe that's how you unlock...
You unlock the bus.
You have to unlock the bus.
Oh my god. Okay, so okay, we have to settle this. Is Kirby a Pokemon?
You know, yeah.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he's like the Pokemon king.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he can be any Pokemon, right?
Yeah, sure.
And if you put him in a robo suit, he can be a set of keys?
Well, I mean, if you take off the dumb ears and the wings from a Clefairy, you kind of have a Kirby.
Right. Well, but Clefairies, weren't they like aliens?
Yes. In the anime, it states, I think it even says in the actual like game's description that Clefairies are from another planet.
Right.
Right? Okay. So Kirby is from another planet.
Right. So from his own planet. Is, Kirby is actually a Pokemon.
He's the Poke God.
He's the Poke God of the Poke God.
Kirby is the Poke God. See, here's how it goes. Ditto. Okay. You're familiar with Ditto, right?
Yeah.
It's the Pokemon that can turn into any other Pokemon.
Right.
Well, what happens is when Kirby splits, the lesser splits of Kirby turn into Dittos.
Okay.
And veritably, I think that all Pokemon are really just like the sweat or the excess of a Kirby. It all comes from Kirby. And that all Pokemon are really Dittos.
Yeah.
And that they've transformed, but they forgot how to transform back.
Yeah. Okay.
So Pikachus are really just like some kind of like Ditto amoeba offshoot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the amoeba turning into like a multicellular organism.
Okay. So your Pokemon theory is starting to become very similar to my Jet Li theory.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, your beautiful Jet Li theory. What was that Jet Li theory?
Do we really want to talk about this?
Why the hell not?
Okay. So I have a theory that if you kill Jet Li, you become Jet Li. This all started...
This ties into the One, of course.
Yes. This all started with the One. And at the end of the One, there's two Jet Lis left. He had killed all the other Jet Lis because the whole premise of the One was Jet Li going back in time to kill the other Jet Li.
Or going into other dimensions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sorry. One evil Jet Li found a way to go through all these dimensions killing the other Jet Lis, and Jason Statham was sent back to protect Jet Li from Jet Li. So, you fast forward a little bit to War, and now Jason Statham has become evil and has decided that, hey man, I need to become Jet Li. So he kills Jet Li and becomes Jet Li.
Yes, yes.
And then he fights Jet Li, I think, who is now Jason Statham. It was
kind of
confusing.
Yeah, because they do the face-off thing, yeah. The face-swapping.
Yeah, so then now the good Jet Li, who is actually Jason Statham, is fighting the bad Jet Li because he got defeated and is now actually Jason Statham. And it's a very confusing scenario that I don't really want to explain, but at the end of the whole thing, he then pairs up with Jackie Chan and becomes a god.
Sure.
So...
Oh, yeah, because of Journey to the East?
Yeah.
Journey to the West?
Yeah, but there
East
for...
West is
yeah,
one
it's
the
all
other.
The same.
Yeah.
But there for a little while, he was someone's slave because he got enslaved by, like, Mario. Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
Hopkins, yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah, because Danny the dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, God Jet Li and then Danny the dog and slave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mario became a dick and decided to make Jet Li his pet. That's where Goombas come from.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So if someone is listening to this nonsense and is trying to, like, make some sense or logic out of this, what order should they watch these movies in to wrap their brain around the fact that, you know, you kill Jet Li to become Jet Li.
Well, so first off,
do you start with the One?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
You don't start with the One because that's the ascension of power, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So you actually start off with Kiss of the Dragon.
Okay.
Because you've got to see...
You've got to figure out who Jet Li is.
Yeah, Jet Li's got to find himself.
Okay.
And then you move into, what was the other one that he did with DMX?
Yes.
Yeah, that movie. So you move into that to see...
Whatever that movie is,
to see
I know the
where,
one you're talking about.
Where Jet Li lost himself.
Uh-huh.
And then you move into the One, because that's where Jet Li becomes
when
Jet
he,
Li.
Yeah.
Because he fought Jet Li.
Uh-huh. So then is Journey to the West, is that... There,
that's
whatever,
the final in the saga.
That's the end, because he's become God Jet Li
right,
at that point.
Right, at that
okay.
point, he's defeated the evil Jason
so
Statham.
So War... You would watch War after the One.
Well, you would first watch the Danny the Dog movie, I can't remember what that movie's called.
Before or after the One?
After the One, immediately after.
Okay.
Because once again, that's Jet Li dipping because his power has waned a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then you watch War because now this is Jet Li's War Eternal.
Yeah, this is the character arc that makes you feel bad for the bad guy.
Right.
It makes you empathize with the bad guy.
Right.
So going into War.
This is a second Lord of the Rings movie. This is
absolutely.
This is the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jet Li comes out the other side, a much better person, and then you watch the Journey to the East as the pivotal moment in his life where he's now a god and now everyone respects him because he's Jet Li.
So I'm sure right now, listening to this, there's a movie producer out there that is like, you know what? He's right. this has happened.
Yeah.
We didn't even plan this, but now we're going to get in on the joke.
Or there's a lot of assassins that are planning on going after Jet Li at
this
moment.
That's right, too. Yeah. You know, what's going to happen, though, is the next movie in the series is going to be God Jet Li coming back down to Earth to play Pokemon Go.
Oh, man. Maybe.
And he gives up his deity-ness.
His Jet Li-ness, yeah.
Yeah, his Jet Li-ness to play Pokemon Go with the masses.
Okay. Yeah, I'd watch that movie.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Moving on.
What the hell did that have to do with Dittos?
We just took kind of a long...
I'm also going to throw this out there. Yoshi is also a Pokemon.
Yeah, I can see that.
The egg is even like the same egg as a Pokemon egg.
Oh, man.
The Yoshis only say their name.
Yeah.
Pokemon only say their name.
True.
Okay, they live to serve.
Yeah.
You know, once you're once you've hatched a Yoshi, like, that's your Yoshi.
Yeah, until you drive it off a cliff.
Until you throw it in lava.
Yeah. Just like Pokemon, you send them to the meat grinder.
Yes, yeah. We just grind them all into candies and eat them all.
Woo. Anyways, Nioh has a beta coming up on August 23rd. You have anything you want to say about that?
I'm still excited for Nioh after playing the alpha. I think it needs a lot of polish. It is a Japanese feudal take, Japanese mythology feudal take on a Dark Souls formula by Team Ninja. It could be good. It really could. There's a lot of potential. I was not impressed with the level design. I'm not impressed with the I can't say not impressed with the graphics. It's the fidelity of the graphics. I'm not impressed with the amount of aliasing I saw and screen tearing. If they can fix that stuff up, if they can give it some hearty polish, I feel like this game could be its own contender within a Dark Souls type framework of a video game.
Okay.
So I'm very excited for it because the beta, you know, which will be free to everyone who downloads it, it'll be a limited beta, will go live August 23rd.
Cool.
So I look forward to playing that and seeing if they've taken to heart any of the feedback that players or the press have given that game. I think that, like I said, it could be successful. Let's see if they listen.
Cool. The next thing on the docket is Fallout 4. It's still not gotten any mods on PlayStation.
Why are there no mods on PS4?
I'm just going to say it. It's probably because they've not paid Bethesda enough money to do so.
At this point, I don't think they're coming. I think that they're going to scrap the idea. They're going to put it off so long that I think mods just aren't coming to PS4. And I think that we need to come to terms with that as Sony players.
Yeah.
It's been a real pain in the butt for them on the Xbox side of things, too.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been a lot of
back and forth.
There's been a lot of copyright issues and a lot of dispute over who owns what mod, who created what mod.
Right. And
I think it's been
mention,
a huge hassle and a huge PR, not even a PR thing. I feel like it's been like an internal struggle, even from like a legal standpoint.
Right.
I think that it's been so much of an issue now that they just don't want to fool with it on Sony's end as well.
Not to mention that now these people who are likely doing this stuff as, like these mods, as freelance or as something that they just enjoy doing on the weekends, are not now having to make it for another console.
Mm-hmm.
They're now having to port all this stuff over, and they're probably not being paid very much, if anything.
So
not a whole lot of incentive there. And on top of that, they've got all these new restrictions that are set on them,
mm-hmm.
so that they can't like make the mod as great as they want it to be. So
all kinds of arbitrary restrictions for sure. I think this is just going to go to the wayside. Like I would be very surprised if mods come at all to the PS4 version of Fallout 4. And I'm okay with that because I'm the weird Bethesda type player where I will play the game once on console and that's my initial like story run through. And
same
then I'll
here.
Purchase the game on a Steam sale on PC and just mod the crap out of it. I've done this with literally every Bethesda game since I think Elder Scrolls 2.
Yeah. Well,
definitely since 3.
To me, modding is a way to extend the game's life.
Yeah.
And once I beat an Elder Scrolls game, I would like to see some new life.
I feel like there are mods that I've had a lot of fun with in like specifically like Oblivion and Skyrim.
Yeah.
That have really, even Fallout New Vegas, that have really added to my enjoyment of the game.
Yeah.
But they're things that if I would have played through, it would have ruined it would have ruined my experience of what the developers wanted me to experience.
Right,
the
like
first
having Macho Man Randy Savage voice, or having the dragons look like Thomas the Tank Engine,
or me, like having literal predator camps, like Yotjaw, like you know, as in the Predator movies, predator camps in my Elder Scrolls games, and having their weapons and that stuff. Like it's really neat and really weird, and kind of fits in a weird realm because like you know, if you've ever seen a Predator movie, like their whole thing is going to different planets and hunting the most dangerous game there.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to have that there. And also, like, finding, you know, like, ancient lightsabers, like KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, like, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years before the Star Wars proper, you know, having those in Elder Scrolls, like, having, like, weird connections that maybe if you extend your disbelief, like, could have been a part of it. But, like, that's not something that should be there for what the developers intended. So that's, like, a revisit for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't affect me too much. I wasn't really banking on consoles being a huge thing for the PS4 version. That's not why I bought it on the PS4.
Yeah.
I honestly have yet to touch any of the DLC that has come out for Fallout 4. And I bought the Season Pass. I hear great things of the story content. Far Harbor.
Yeah,
I think that is the name of Far Harbor. But yeah, I'm still excited to play that. I mean, I have yet to play The Witcher DLC.
I don't know. I still haven't beat the game.
I beat the game, but the first Witcher DLC I've put maybe 30, 40 minutes into.
Yeah.
So I'm nowhere close to even experiencing that. And I've got some DLC to catch up with for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as we have a break with work, I plan on just having some good old-fashioned video game time.
What in the hell is a break?
Yeah, sure. It's true. moving on, looks like Gravity Rush 2 is coming out December 2nd.
Yeah.
Did you play the first one? I haven't, so...
I love the first one.
I've heard a lot of people say that those games are phenomenal.
I highly recommend that. The first Gravity Rush is amazing. It was a Vita game that has much cult acclaim at this point. You know, it is kind of a cult classic amongst Vita players.
Yeah, did they ever bring it to PS4?
They did.
Okay.
And I think it's actually, as of recording this, I think it may be on sale on one of the Sony sales that's going on.
I might have to pick that up.
It's great. It's really great. It's a Japanese anime take on a superhero.
Yeah.
You are a chick who can control, her name's Kat, she can control gravity.
Yeah.
You know, so your way of getting around is to use gravity to your means. Like, you're flying around and zipping around.
Yeah, I've heard it plays similar to Flower, which I thought was weird. But
I guess if you use the motion controls, maybe, but I just play it with analog sticks on the PS4
version.
Yeah, I
think the person I talked to said that you were using
motion
controls.
I wouldn't recommend using motion controls. I would rather use the analog sticks.
Okay.
The first one, it's kind of a shorter game, although I think it's still like 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe 9 or 10. So it's definitely shorter, but the newest one that's coming out launches in December. They're going to have an anime movie breach the story gap between the two games. But this new one basically is just fleshing out the game and making it more of a game. The only complaint that anyone had about Gravity Rush, the first one, is that there wasn't enough of what was already there. People really enjoyed what was there, but they just wanted more. Like, it needed more content. So they're bringing more missions and more development and more character abilities, everything everyone loved about Gravity Rush, just more of that greatness. So I really look forward to that.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Abzu.
Yeah.
Do you know what Abzu is?
Is that stuff that grows everywhere that goats have to eat?
That's kudzu.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking the wrong thing.
Well, according to the art director, the I'm guessing he's not even a developer, just art director and founder of Giant Squid Games, August 2nd, Abzu is going to be coming out. It's by Matt Nava, or Nava, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. He's the guy who brought us Flower and Journey. So, speaking of Flower, Abzu literally apparently comes from the ancient words ab, which is ocean, and zu, which is to know.
Okay.
Once you watch the trailer or soak up any media from Abzu, it looks like a ocean, kind of science fiction-y.
Yeah.
You are a diver. I don't know of another way to put that.
Well, we also don't know much about this game either.
Yeah, we will why do I keep saying April for August? Yes, we will know August 2nd. And it does, once you look at it, you can immediately see the connection between Journey and Abzu or Abzu.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, like,
it's absolutely gorgeous. If you have not seen the trailer, it's ABZU. Type in trailer after that, use your Google Foo. It is absolutely gorgeous. I'm going to get this game just because of its pedigree.
Yeah.
Because it comes from this guy, because it looks so pretty.
Not just it's the way they use the colors. The color just looks good and saturated.
And I think it goes beyond that, too. I think it's also movement. Like, the fluidity of movement, the animations are fantastic.
Yeah.
Even when you're playing Journey, you feel like you're surfing, but you're not surfing.
Right.
I mean, you're coasting across the sand, or you're floating, and everything is just so, it's very easy to do and very simple, but you never feel constrained. You never feel like you're working against the controls.
Well, it's like we talked about before. You know, a lot of games don't like to, or they have to give away so much of what they are before they're ever released.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about Journey and Flower and such is
you didn't know.
You had no clue what you were doing.
And maybe that's the line too. Maybe it's because, you know, we're talking about No Man's Sky before. Maybe it's because No Man's Sky has become so mainstream in its publicity that you have that other crowd expecting
it's
more.
It's mainstream yet ambiguous at the same time.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Flower and with Journey and those games, you didn't know what they are, and no one made a big deal about not knowing what they were either.
Right.
Even with Dark Souls games to a degree, like they've only relatively recently become a bigger stream game, you know, a more, you know, mass audience game. So I feel like, you know, with Abzu, it's the same thing. You know, we have this, we don't know much about it, but our audience of gamer, like, we don't really care. That's kind of intriguing to us.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's the same way it is with No Man's Sky. I'm intrigued by what I don't know. Angry or disappointed with what I don't know.
Right. I'm okay with it. And I want to learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the same thing with Abzu. It looks so unique and weird. And
it does.
I love that about it.
And even the character, like, the character you play as this diver, you know, you have diving flippers on and stuff like this, but there's distinctions about the way the characters look that it's, you can tell it's not a modern day thing.
Yeah, even if it's on Earth, honestly.
Yeah, you really don't know. Like, you see whales in it, in the trailer, but, you know, there's a possibility that, you know,
those could be space whales.
They could be space whales. Space whales are cool.
Why not? Yeah.
But, I mean, it also shows a lot of science fiction elements as well. It shows, like, weird triangular, like, obelisks and doors opening and all kinds of little niche things. Like, you know, Journey had ruins.
Yeah.
And you didn't know much about these ruins. Like, everything is visual storytelling. You kind of infer your own opinions about what's going on.
Right.
And I feel like this one may be the same way. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I love the mystique. And I love having to think for myself.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I love a good book, a good science fiction novel or fiction, a fantasy novel, is I'm inferring a lot of the visuals in my own head.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm filling in the gaps with my own creativity. And that's what I like about these types of games. And that's, you know, back to No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
I'm excited with the moment-to-moment mundanity, with the monotony of just going around and inferring my own ideologies on this galaxy.
Right.
So the same thing with Abzu. Like, I'm
sounds like you just wrote a rap.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? So, did I go full Kanye?
You went full, well, sure, sure. You didn't call Taylor Swift a bitch, but, you know, that's close enough.
But, like, I mean, I'm excited for the exact same reasons, and I really look forward now to August 2nd to be able to play this. I had no idea this was being developed until the day of this recording.
Yeah.
And apparently this game was shown at 2014
E3. Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't even know it was shown at E3 2016.
No one publicized it.
Yeah.
None of the video game venues that I test myself to and check I haven't seen this game before.
Yeah, me either.
And now that I've seen it, I'm really kind of disappointed that I haven't seen it.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of like, okay, well, August 2nd, I can't wait to play you, but I wish I could have been excited a little bit more.
I had no idea that the Flower Journey creative director went to found his own team.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, no, but it looks really good.
It looks legit. Oh, man.
Yeah, so looking forward to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably talk about that some on the next podcast.
Yeah, and there's some kind of sale going on with it as well. Sony has I don't think they've officially launched this week, but it is a sale where it's buy two of the four special titles that are coming out and get like a 25% coupon or discount coupon.
Yeah.
Buying those. And this is one of the games that's on those.
Okay.
Or on that docket.
Yeah, those are usually pretty good.
Yeah,
sales.
Another one that's coming out is, and it's, they're doing like the weekly rollout thing they've done in the past.
Right.
Another one attached to it is Brutal. Have you heard of Brutal?
No.
Brutal is like a weird, it uses like ASCII art.
Okay.
All the characters and stuff are made up of like ASCII.
Yeah.
And it's,
oh yeah,
it's like
I have
black
seen
and
that.
White.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
at first glance, it looks like a weird, like a simplistic Tron-like game.
Yeah.
And then you realize that, once again, like all the characters and stuff and all the art is made up of like ASCII characters.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So you have everyone made up of weird symbols and whatnot. But it is supposed to play, and story-wise, it's supposed to be like a D&D, like a fantasy game. So it's meshing like the cyberness of a Tron, but throwing in like nothing but like fantasy story and gameplay.
Right.
And that's a really neat clash of
I can't wait to see what that looks
sci-fi,
like.
Sci-fi, digital, like inner computer Tron style with, you know, fantasy archetypes.
Yeah.
That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. That that's we've got quite a bit of games coming out.
Yeah, they're starting to roll out real quickly now. It's funny, like we had like a nice little dry spot of both news and games, but it lasted just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and now August hitting, it's going to be a plethora of games from here until the end.
Yeah, I'm honestly having the problem right now where there's so many things that I want to write on and want to review, but they're coming out at such a steady clip that I can't possibly hit all the things
Everything I want to hit.
So many good games right now, and most of those are indie games. Like, I'm a huge proponent of indies,
right?
And I'm really, I want to give each of them their due, but
it's kind of hard to.
Man, I really wish there were like three of me right now.
Yeah. Oh God, I know. I wish I would settle for two.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's gonna be a good year for video games.
And No Man's Sky is just around the corner. I'm so excited. Don't be a hater.
Don't be a hater, dog.
be a hater after the game's launched. If you don't like it after it's launched, then you're perfectly, you know, valid.
Yep. Overwatch. I feel like we had to say Overwatch a couple times.
I feel like we are obligated to say just a little something about Overwatch.
Okay.
How do you feel about the new character?
I love it.
Okay.
I'm not played her yet.
Her name is A-N-A. Is it Anna or Anna?
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Okay.
I say Anna.
Uh-huh. Older lady, sniper.
Yeah, she's actually Farrah's mom.
Okay.
Farrah.
Yeah, there are like two ways to say every single one of those names.
Yeah, except for Winston. But either way,
Weenheart.
She's a sniper healer.
Yep. If she shoots you in the head and you're on her team, then she heals you like double. She crit heals you.
Right, because, you know, so a healing dart going into your brain is more effective than a healing dart going into your back.
If you're hurting and I shoot you full of pain medication, it's going to help you, right?
Well, it's like...
If I shoot you in the head with pain medication, it's going to...
It's like healing grenades, you know? They make sense because they shoot out a bunch of small needles.
That is definitely a creation of video games, right? Like, we've never seen healing grenades outside of video games.
Yeah.
That was a purely...
Well,
like,
yeah,
that's
right? If they had healing grenades in World War II, they were just regular-ass grenades. I mean, they weren't... They might have said healing on them.
I've never heard of a biotic grenade or a healing grenade in, like, a book or a movie or TV show. Like,
I don't know.
I feel like this
I've
was
read
created...
a book. I know I've read books with healing grenades in them.
Okay.
But as to what those are, I can't exactly say off the top of my head.
Fair enough. But back to Anna, whatever her name is.
So she looks really interesting. Uh-huh. I'm curious to see how she plays. Unfortunately, right now, she's only available for play on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just happened today, actually.
Yeah.
I'm in a weird
spot with Overwatch, kind of a funk, where I'm kind of holding off to play it again after our terrible stint with competitive play.
Yeah.
Because that was not fun. And it seems like that's like the popular opinion is that competitive play is just...
Not fun.
Well, you won't want to do competitive play unless you have a team full of people that you're actively communicating with on headset.
I will say, I jumped on the other night, a few buddies and I did, and I had an okay time on competitive play. Then we jumped over to their new MOBA mode, which was actually a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's their weekly thing where, like, you... Only one.
And is that still active?
Yeah, okay. It's one player per team or one character per team, and you only get to choose your character at the very beginning of the match.
Nice, and you have to stick with that.
You have to stick with that.
I kind of like that.
It was actually a lot of fun.
I feel like that
should be
a proper game type.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that.
Just hearing that, I can agree as well.
And then, you know, they've implemented the thing in competitive. Where you can only have one certain person per team, so you can't have multiple characters. Of, like, you can't have five Torbjorns anymore on competitive.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But it's coming along.
Yeah, definitely.
I still really like Overwatch.
I feel like it needs, like, some solid balance patches at this point, especially for the competitive side. Like, I'm still able to go over to the regular mode, you know, the quick play, and still have fun with it. But, man, that competitive is just... I'm honestly never going to bother with competitive again unless I'm in a you know, it's six people per team, unless I have, like, at least five people actively in party chat with me. Because it's just such a mess at that point.
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty bad those nights that we tried it.
Yep. And more than anything, like, I think that Ana would be really neat, you know, having a healing sniper.
Yeah.
And some of her abilities are really cool. But I'm even more excited for new maps.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little... I enjoy the maps, but I'm a little burnt out on playing, you know, the exact same maps over and over again. I feel like there's just... I feel like they could use a solid like 3-4 more maps thrown in there.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've been talking them up, but I'm at that point where I'm just like, I'm tired of seeing the same ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, Overwatch is great. That was our obligatory Overwatch minute.
Well, I think that's all we had this week.
Yeah, well, we can sit here and talk about more Pokemon Go.
No, I'm good. I'm okay on Pokemon for now. Well, I was Kenny.
You were Kenny, and I'm still John. I'm sad that Kenny has left us.
Yes, Kenny has ascended to Jet Li.
Yes, he will be missed. Goodbye, Kenny.
Goodbye.
This has been Hardly Casual, guys. Thanks for listening.